Jesus, this is a picture that I found that Jesus carried up into heaven. And we know he was. The Bible says so, right? But there was a group of people, hold on. There was a group of people, the apostles, who actually witnessed this. Now I want you to think about it. Let me read it and then we'll talk about it. And Jesus led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Do you think you would have felt this way if you were there and witnessed this? See, they had already seen him raised from the dead, right? That would have been something to really have witnessed, to see Jesus after he raised from the dead, to walk in the room you were in. Of course, he said he was going to, but now they actually see him when he came in. That was a shocker, kind of. That was something to be witnessed, to see something like that. And then he tells them, let's go out because I want to show you something else. And he takes them out to Bethany, and he blesses them, and he says, goes up into heaven. And they watched him go all the way up through the clouds. Tell me that wouldn't be something to witness. And you know, you could see why their faith was what it was after they witnessed that. I've not seen any of that, have you? Now, how do we know this is true? This is their eyewitness. This is where faith comes in. This is where the Bible comes in. This is where, you know, I always say it, if you can't get somebody to believe the Bible, you can't get them to believe anything about God. Not the real God. So they witnessed that, and they wrote about it, and they tell us that he went and ascended into heaven. Wow. That would have been something to really see. But before he did that, he had already told them, I'm going away, but I'm coming back. He says it right here. This is in John 14, 1, 2, 3. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there will be also. See, he didn't say, I'm going away, and leave them in suspense. He told them, he said, I'm coming back. I will be back. He said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Now, he gave this to the apostles, right? But you know what? This same promise belongs to you and I. Whatever this place is, and we got a glimpse of it over in Revelation. It's that new heaven and a new earth that's coming one day. And I don't know, you know, he gives us a glimpse. We don't know really all about it, but we know enough to know there's a place somewhere coming for us. Far greater than what we could understand, I'm sure. But he told these apostles, he said, look, I'm going away. And then he goes out and he goes, goodbye. But you know what? It's been 2,000 years ago. Hadn't showed up yet. So that would mean that some people would begin to what? Doubt. How come he hadn't come back already? You know, the apostles were waiting on him to come just any minute, any time. They thought he went away and he was going to come back maybe the next hour, next day. They waited, they waited, they waited, and they all dead now. You may be dead before he comes back. I may be. He may come back today. I don't know. But the point is, he is coming back, and that is the promise for us as Christians. Because if he doesn't come back, what are we doing here? This is a waste of time. There's where your faith comes in. Do you believe he's coming back? Because that is our hope. Now, this is, I want to say this before I move on. See, when Jesus comes back, we in his kingdom right now. I told y'all that last time I was up here. We are in his kingdom right now. And he's going to take this kingdom that we in, when he comes back, into judgment. And from judgment, guess where we go from there? We're going into the Father's house. Then we'll be with the Father, with the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know, that in itself is probably more than we can handle, really, if we really... You can't see it through the mind of the flesh like it really is going to be. But we're going to be in that setting to where we're going to be with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be with them. That'll be one amazing thing. But the reason I said that is because we can't. We got to understand that right now we under the throne of Christ. Eventually, when he comes back after judgment, we're going to be with the Father. And that's important because he wants us to know that we're going to see the Father one day. We'll see him first, Jesus first, but then we'll see the Father. But you see, there's going to be scoffers that come. Peter tells us here. You know what a scoffer is? Oh, Pat, ain't no use of believing this stuff. It's all hogwash. You know, you always got somebody that's trying to down your faith. And they're going to try to discourage you. I mean, if he hadn't come back in 2,000 years, what makes you think he's coming back? I don't know. Evidently, he's not. See, Peter says it here, so that you may be mindful, he said, of the words which have been spoken before by who? The holy prophets and the commandment of the apostles of the Lord Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of the coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They might have a point. They might have a point. Get the right person talking to you. They might convince you. I've had them come to me. I talked to a man one time. He said, this is all hogwash. I talked to him for over an hour. He said, really? This Jesus thing? They out there. And by the way, we are in the last days. Y'all know when the last days started? When Jesus showed up. It was the last days of the last dispensation that we're in now. It was also the last days of Israel. That's the kingdom of Israel, the physical kingdom. But we are in the last days. But in the last days, these scoffers are going to come. They out here everywhere, testing your faith, okay? We can believe Jesus because of who he is. When he makes a promise, he will keep it. Trust me. And he's coming. We just don't know when. We don't. And there's a reason for that. See, the Lord will come, I assure you, at the right time. You know, they was looking for the Messiah to come the first time. Thousands of years, they were looking for him to come. They thought, maybe this is it. Maybe that's it. Maybe this is when he's coming. But you know what? When he come, they didn't realize it. In fact, most didn't accept it. Wasn't that odd? They've been waiting so long for him to come. And then when he did come, most rejected him, and they hung him on a tree, killed him. Wasn't that odd? See, God's timing is not like our time. 24 hours a day. We think God is coming on our time. No. Peter says this. Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years one day. The Lord is not slack in his coming as concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that they all should come to repentance. See, if you look at the way God counts time, how long has it been gone? 2 days? Not 2,000 years, 2 days. See, God's very slow in what he does. He don't get no hurry. He's got everything set in order the way he wants it. We're the ones that get in a hurry. We want it our way and our timing. So we try to make it happen. That's what happened to Abraham and Sarah. They had a promise from God that they're going to get a child. But rather than waiting on God's timing, they went on and come up with their own plan and made a boo-boo, a big one, a mess, by going away from the will of God. But, you know, that's just normal. That's who we are. But he's coming back at his timing, okay? Because he has one purpose in mind is why he hadn't come back, as I can tell. You know what that is? He's reaching for one more person. One more to be saved. I don't know who that is. I often wondered who would be the last one that God would save before he comes. You better hope it's you. And of course, most of us here will save, I suppose, but hopefully, I think. But here's the thing. One day, I don't know, will be the end. You won't, nobody else will come in. No other chance. God's going to say, you know, I've been reaching out here for thousands of years. One more, if I could just get one more. But one day he'll say, well, that's it. That's all. That's not good for that person. Because I'll give you an illustration. What if you're not a Christian? You hear this message, you walk out this door, get in your car, truck, ride your camel, whatever you got, and go down the street, and a car run over and kill you. Your day's up. Or what if the Lord does show up? You see, how's it? I've heard it said this way. Why do we gamble with our soul? See, why? Because that's what we're doing if we hang around too long. Because this is what he's saying. I'm waiting for one more. So, that's why he is so patient and slow about the coming. He may wait another 1,000 years. I don't know. Maybe. maybe 2,000. But if I got anything to gauge it, as far as I can tell, the one thing that he'd done for Israel, the Old Testament Israel that we could learn from, is because of their own sin got so bad, you know, that can be the one big issue for him to make that decision to come back. If we just get so bad, he can't stomach it. That's what happened days of Noah, isn't it? He said, in the days of Noah, he said, he done got to the point, he said, that man has gotten so wicked and ungodly. He said, I'm not going to put up with it no more. So he said, I'm going to destroy everything in the flesh. You know how many people he saved? 8 people. 8. Out of that whole world, or that generation. But he's waiting on one more. He will come when those of the world are not looking for him. Watch this. Thessalonians says, now, brethren, about the times, the dates, we do not need to write to you. Paul said, I'm not going to write and tell you what time, because I don't know myself. But he did say this, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Ain't no thief ever going to call you and tell you he's coming to rob you. But it's the idea here is he's coming in a time you're not expecting. It's a secret thing. But it won't be a secret when it happens. He's just coming at a time you won't expect. And while people are saying, watch, look, this is really strange right here. We got to watch this one. Peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly, and labor pains of the pregnant woman, and they will not escape. People going on about their business, and everything's going to seem okay. You know, in the days of Noah, what it says? That the people were marrying and giving in marriage. And boy, they was happy. Everything was going good. The other side, some people teach that it's going to be a great tribulation period, and it's going to be so bad and all that. This is just the opposite of what God's saying. No, it's going to be something good going on. It's going to be maybe a relief of things. Maybe things are going to be better. I don't know exactly what this means. He said peace and safety, they thinking. Boom, there he is. He's going to show right up because you're not expecting it. I mean, everything is wonderful. But it's not. Not in God's mind, because he said, I done come to the point I'm going to give up. See, just like in the days of Noah, this dude here, he's going to work. He thought, you know, everything was wonderful that morning. He was going to get a bigger paycheck because he got a raise and all that. And he's going to, and all at once, Jesus shows up. You know, all that means nothing. What good is all that going to do him if he don't have salvation? And see, he's in deep water now. So the thing of it is, this whole message is talking about the seriousness of Christ and what he's going to do when he comes. But the Christian, you, brethren, talking to the Christian, are not in darkness. We shouldn't be in darkness, so that this day should overtake us as a thief. You know why? We should be expecting him at this any time. Anytime. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. Let me ask you a question. Before you heard this message this morning, when's the last time you thought about Christ coming back? Was it this week? Y'all think about the Lord coming back this week or yesterday? See, the Christian should be ready anytime, any moment, and that's why I brought that up this morning in communion. Maybe it would help us to remember every Lord's Day. Not only are we here because he died and was buried and raised from the dead, but he is coming back. a reminder. Keep our minds on this. And I believe our walk would get a little better if we knew for sure and really believed that he's going to be here just any time. He's coming to pay back those who have troubled us. The payback is going to be bad for those who trouble the people of God. Thessalonians says, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. There will be tribulation coming, yeah, when he comes. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world at that time, it's going to be a pitiful situation. Now, we know on the days of Noah, we can look at that picture. He wiped away the whole world at that time. Now, when he said wipe away, he did take them away in the flesh, but you know those people still living in Hades? They're in a worse place now than they were when the flood came because of what they were doing, rejecting God. He's coming to be admired among those who believe. It's opposite for us. It should be a rejoicing when he comes for us. Won't it? It should be. That's what we're waiting for. He said when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints, to be admired among all those who believe because our testimony among you was believed. I don't know how all that's, I can't imagine him going away. Like I said this morning, that would have been, something to really see. But what do you think it's going to be like when he comes back? What is it going to be like? Wow. You know, that's going to be, I don't know. It's going to be great if you're a Christian. But be sure you will be counted worthy when he comes. Be sure you do that. But look what Thessalonians says here. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Worthy of his calling. We have a responsibility in our walk. And when he comes, we shouldn't be ashamed. We should say, great, our Savior is here. Our Savior is here. What a wonderful thing to think, to actually walk with him, to see him. But this verse says this, the faithful can hope fully upon the grace when it comes. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is be brought you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as you in ignorance, but as he called you holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. You know that word holy stumbles people a lot. You know what that word means? He's called us aside to be different than the world and the people who don't live for him. That word holy just means I'm a separated people. But he said also here that this grace will be brought to us. Now let me explain something about grace right here. Right now, God's got his grace on the whole world. What I mean by that, we already done saw he's waiting for people to be saved. His grace is holding back the wrath of God so that people can come and give their life to Jesus. He's holding back that wrath. That's His grace doing that. Do you realize that? Now, saving grace is for those who will make a decision to come to Him and say, I accept You, Jesus, and give your life to Him and say, I'm going to be buried with Him in baptism to raise to walk in a new life, because that's what He's going to do. He's going to give you a Holy Spirit and put the Holy Spirit in your life. And when you raise from there, He said, you are Mine. You know why we're mine? His? He's taking residence up in us. He said, you belong to Me now, boy. Or girl, whoever. I don't know how to explain that any better. Do we see that is our guarantee of salvation? That's what He's saying, that grace is ours when He comes. But see, all that grace He had out there for the world that won't accept Him, when He shows up, guess what? He pulls that grace away. It's not yours no longer. It's not yours no longer. See, God's serious about this grace thing because His Son's hanging on that. None of us would have grace without His Son. He said, you accept My Son and I love you. You won't believe it how much I love you because you love My Son. But you reject My Son, I'm sorry. I still love you, but I can't deal with that because My Son is more important, and now listen to this, than you are. That sounds awful, doesn't it? That's how much He loves His Son. And He took His Son, who He loved so much, that much, and turned Him over to the world to let Him be killed. Take His life. One of the most torturous life that could be is to be hung on a cross, on a tree, with spikes through your hand, bleeding to death. I don't know if you can get any worse than that. But it was for you, for me. And if God done that for us, then that means we should live for Him and make ourselves available to His work. His work. It is a work. It's a beautiful work. You know, it's an honor and a privilege to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. On Judgment Day, when we all are there, how many are going to be there that you helped get there? You know, there's people that I baptized years and years ago. I don't know where they are. Don't know anything about them. Maybe dead. But I hope on Judgment Day, I'll see them right here. What I mean right here, be on the side of Christ. Because that's what's bottom line. That's all that matters. We get right down to it. That's what we hope for, right? Salvation. But we're in a wicked world. We got to walk the walk. And sometimes the world tries to beat us up, destroy our faith. But He tells us here, we got to be patient. We got to be patient. Watch. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Like the farmer waits for the precious produce of soil. Being patient about it until He gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your heart, for the coming of the Lord is near. May happen today. I don't know. May not. Main thing is that we're ready, right? Today is the day of salvation. You know how I know the day is the day of salvation? He's still reaching. Still reaching out for one more. How about you? See? Gosh, one day he reached out there for me. I went for 35 years. He was reaching all that time for me, waiting for me, waiting for me. I had people come witness to me. I didn't want to hear you. But one day, I heard the right message at the right time, and I said, this is it right here. Became a Christian. 1973. You know, I'd have been in an awful predicament if he had come in 1970. Wouldn't I? You see how God works? He's that loving. He wants salvation for all people. And this thing of him picking and choosing, come on. He wants all people to be saved. All they got to do is step up and say, Jesus, you are my Savior. I want you to be my Savior. Because you got those come to try to destroy our faith. But that's okay. I've had that happen. That, you know, they the foolish ones, not me. Jesus is coming. I assure you of that. You ever wondered how that's going to really be, though, when he comes? The Bible says just like he left, went into the clouds, he's coming back the same way. And we're all going to see it. All we're going to see it. Saved or lost. We all will see it. But it depends on which side of the fence you're on. Or they best say, which side of the cross you're on. Is how you're going to respond. So we're going to have a song now. You'd like to stand and we'll close. And something to think about.